Welcome from Tech at Europe. We are in Berlin this year. Last year it was Barcelona. My name is Christian Binder and I'm the track program manager for the Dev Track this year. On my right hand side I have Steve Texera. Hello, Steve.
Hello there. How are you?
Pretty well. And you have done two great talks about parallel tool sets.
Yes.
We have the new parallel tool sets we have.
Yes.
What you think? What was your first impression from the audience? It was completely packed. Right.
It was packed. I felt a little bad. Like my first session,
right,
we were actually turning some people away, and we had to repeat the session, which
right
was good.
Yeah.
The engagement from the audience actually exceeded my expectations. As a speaker, you kind of learn to look at the audience, and you can see, okay, am I connecting with these people? Are they excited about what
right
I'm talking about? Are they waiting for lunch? You know, what's going on?
Okay.
People were really enthusiastic about
okay
the parallel computing tools and programming models. So I was, you know, I was excited to be there with them.
So the best thing can happen for a speaker, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So having a full room and so people showing they have interest in the topic,
yes,
right? They want to learn how to deal with multi-core systems efficiently.
Yes.
So this is cool. We have done a bunch of work around that. So you have one session focusing about more the native stuff, right?
Yes.
And profiling. And we have one talk about the managed stuff, right?
Yes.
So I think we should give the people now a quick overview of what we're dealing with, right?
Great.
This is cool, so jump in.
I'd be happy to do it.
Okay. So, why should we care? Or why should you care about looking at what Steve is going to tell you right now, right?
Yeah.
So, give us some insights.
Okay. So, you know, what we see here is a basic graph that talks about, this is essentially Moore's Law.
Right.
It tells us that every couple of years, the density of CPUs continues to grow and approximately double. And this holds true, and it continues to hold true from the late 1960s through to today. The problem that we're facing as developers in particular is that because of power and heat restrictions, the sequential performance of these CPUs isn't getting any greater. So as we're increasing density, the hardware manufacturers are no longer spending this density on trying to increase sequential performance. Instead, they're spending it on multi-core.
Multi-core.
They're adding more and more and more cores. And so in fact, overall computation capability of our CPUs continues to grow. And if you look at this graph, you'll notice the Y graph isn't linear, it's an exponential graph. And what's happening here is our software that's largely written to take into account parallel or sequential performance, our software
right
tends to be
yeah
sequential,
right,
we're now growing the gap between what the hardware is capable of doing and what our software is designed to take advantage of.
So it's actually the demo, also the scenario, you have multiple cores,
yes,
and one in Performance Explorer, or as you see in Task Manager, one is a red, and the rest is green.
That's right.
On the button.
That's
so,
right.
And you're wondering why your application is not taking any resources from the other ones, right?
That's right.
Okay, good. So how are we going to improve that? This is the next thing, but this is a very good slide. I like that.
Yeah.
Tell us where it comes from.
So this is, first of all, this is a real slide. I mean, this is not a Photoshop job. This isn't
okay
something we cooked up. And this is actually running a real program using our runtime.
Right.
What you see here is a 128 processor machine.
It's good.
It's a real machine we have in the lab. And this kind of gives you an idea. It used to be we would talk about, a couple of years ago, we would talk to people
yeah
and say, you know, pretty soon the world is going to be very multi-core. It's going to happen any minute. Well, that time has arrived. Now
right
you go, we're doing this demo on a laptop here. This is a quad-core laptop.
Right.
Looks like
yeah
a regular laptop. There's nothing fancy about it.
This
and now when you buy a server, it's typically a 4, 8, 16-way server.
Right.
And these aren't fancy machines with, you know, a special cooling thing put in and a special this and a special that. They're very much commodity hardware is going increasingly
yeah
multi-core. So as developers, we have to figure out how, you know, maybe 128 is kind of an outside goal right now. But even if we have a 4, an 8, or a 16-core machine, how are we going to use all
yeah
these capabilities?
I think people could expect, even you said already on laptops, we have already 4 cores.
Yes.
Right? So very likely to get in the supermarket in the next 2 years, some notebooks having 16 cores.
Sure.
Something like that. So it's not anymore some very high-end stuff you have
that's
to
right
pay a lot of money for to get that. I mean, the 128 cores is not cheap. So bad. So the future has arrived.
That's right. The future's here.
Car's still not flying, but we're working on it, right?
So if we get more cores, I'm sure we can get flying cars.
Okay, good. We're overcoming the limits of physics.
That's right.
So okay, good. So what have we done for our developers to deal with that challenge?
That's a great question. We've done a bunch of things in the upcoming version of Visual Studio 2010. We just released a beta of this technology a couple of weeks ago. It's available now on the web. And I'll show you some links in a minute that that people can use to get to this stuff.
Yeah.
So within this image, this shows the entire stack that we're shipping. If we look over at the blue picture on the right, this shows the native code portion of the stack. And so within the native code portion, there's a parallel pattern library, PPL, that's a task-based programming model. So it allows people to program with tasks to do things in a more declarative style. So if they have a for loop that they want to execute in parallel, maybe multiple iterations in parallel, they can just say parallel for and do that work in parallel. Or if they have some tasks that they just want to fork off and do something asynchronously, they can just create a new task and go do that. And I'll show you what that code looks like in just a minute. Another thing we're doing on the native code side for C++ developers is an asynchronous agents library. So asynchronous agents use this actor message-based paradigm where you have these actors that we call agents that run isolated from one another in parallel. You can think of them as kind of each running on their own thread.
Right.
And they don't share state with one another.
Okay.
Instead, they communicate using messages.
Mm-hmm.
So in doing this, you can avoid things like locks, which are a great source of bugs and complexity and scalability problems. Absolutely, in parallel code. And so it encourages a different pattern of development that kind of moves people away from this shared state lock-based world. All of this runs on top of the concurrency runtime. Concurrency runtime you can think of as two things: a resource manager that abstracts away the hardware for the task scheduler. And the task scheduler is the technology that knows how to take all these tasks and do load balancing of these tasks, do work stealing of these tasks, and I'll show you in a minute what I mean by that. One other thing that we have both on the native and managed side are these concurrent data structures to coordinate. So things like locks and queues and data structures and things you would need to build useful and correct parallel applications. Think of them as kind of a basket of helpful classes
and things
to build applications.
Okay.
So some interesting stuff on the managed code side. This is in yellow in this diagram. The TPL, the Task Parallel Library, you can think of that as just the .NET version of the PPL. So tasks and being able to spin things off asynchronously and do parallel for loops, all that's built into the TPL. The big difference is that the C++ version kind of looks a little bit more like STL, what a C++ developer would expect, and the TPL looks more like what .NET developers would expect in terms of a programming model.
So the cool thing is really we have for both worlds, for native developers and for managed developers, we have a very similar approach on that, and we introduced these tasks.
Yes. And the great thing is that intellectually the paradigms are very similar, but the programming models are different depending on what world you want to live in from a programmer standpoint. One thing we do in the managed code side that we don't do in the native, so on the native we have agents, but on the managed side we have parallel link, which is the ability to take link expressions on ienumerable data and run those things in parallel. So you can have a link expression, you could say, hey, do this as parallel, and then if we have multiple cores on the machine, we can use tasks and we can break up that work and do it much more efficiently. On the managed code side, we run all that on top of the thread pool. So it works really well with other .NET workloads. If you're using the .NET thread pool or if you're doing ASP.NET, which uses the thread pool underneath, you'll find that our task programming models work really well with that. Although we have some interesting features that we leverage inside the .NET thread pool now in terms of work stealing and load balancing, that I'll talk to you about that in a minute.
On the right-hand side, or left-hand side, you can see really we have a couple of good tools to support you in your work.
Yeah,
right?
A couple of very interesting things. Two main feature areas, one around the debugging tools, one around performance analysis. The debugger tools are built directly into the Visual Studio debugger, so you don't need to do anything special or weird. Right. They're just automatically there. Likewise, with the performance analysis, built right into the Visual Studio profiler, you don't have to do anything weird to light it up. And in fact, I'll show you a view in a minute of what that looks like in the profiler, but it's really fantastic. One other feature that if you talk about scaling out to multiple machines, if you're using an HPC scenario, we also have some features in the debugger for debugging MPI-based programs.
I've seen there's also a profiler, HPC profiler, right?
Yeah, we do have a little bit of functionality built into there to allow you to profile HPC. Yeah. If it uses MPI, we can pick up the ETW events that are thrown by those applications and help you visualize those.
So for everybody who is looking in HPC apps, there's really good tooling around that, right?
Yeah, we're supporting that now in Visual Studio. One thing I will mention here, if you look at the orange stuff on the bottom, this feature called UMS Threads, which is the ability for the 64-bit version of Windows 7 to do scheduling of threads in user mode. And so what that means is the operating system will give a user mode scheduler, in this case it's our concurrency runtime on the native code side, it will give it the ability to schedule its own work. Right. And so what we can do is we can avoid some of the user-to-kernel transitions that can occur. Typically when threads are switched, we can avoid some of those thread switch. And you get a couple advantages. In some cases, you get better performance. Sometimes. In other cases, you get you can do cooperative blocking so that within our own runtime, if some particular task blocks, we can swap that out and swap in some other task of work, and so we can allow all that to happen inside of user mode.
So a lot of things you can tune your app, right?
Absolutely.
So let's check in the new task, the concept of task. I think it might be new for a couple of people.
Yeah, let's do. Before we do that, I just want to mention really quickly how people get access to this.
Oh, this is good.
You don't have to do anything special. You don't have to download anything weird. If you want to use the .NET stuff, it's built into .NET Framework 4.
Cool.
If you want to use the C++ stuff, it's built right into the C++ runtime.
So no additional downloads?
No, nothing. All built
except
in.
Except demos.
Except demos, right. Okay. If you want demos, you can download those. And then all of the tools are built right into Visual Studio.
So, this sounds simple.
It is. We try to make it really easy and approachable for developers.
This is cool. Yeah, tasks.
Tasks. So let me talk a little bit about tasks. Developers are used to programming with threads, maybe the thread pool.
Right.
What I don't like about threads, I mean, threads are great, and they served us well for many years, and they're manageable if you have two or four of them.
Right.
Once you get many of them, they get very difficult to manage, and I think the reason why is they require the developer to think like the machine.
Okay.
Because a thread models how the machine views execution. Each thread has a stack. Each thread represents a flow of execution and a stack of execution through that thread. But what a thread doesn't represent is it doesn't represent how the developer should think about work. And so what tasks represent, tasks are a new way to think about parallel work. Yeah. And a task represents sort of a bite-sized chunk of work in the application. So now we're encouraging developers, instead of thinking about things in terms of a thread of execution and how can I get the work of my application to kind of get inside of this thread of execution, instead you can just think about, okay, what are the different tasks of work I have? I have different work items.
Right.
Let me just declare these work items and then go tell the operator, tell the runtime, go execute this task of
so is it much more natural thinking about what you try to achieve with your code?
Exactly. So it's a much more
easier,
natural way to work. And not only that, so it's easier to think about, but then when you look at the code, it's much easier to read.
And you
don't end up in the situation where you've written all this code, and by the time you've parallelized it and made it all thread safe with blocks, nobody can read it anymore.
The only one who's going to understand it is you.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky.
Yeah. If you go back a year from now, you probably won't understand the code anymore.
So it's the right thing for developers. They don't know what they've written for a year ago. You don't know why I've done this way, right?
And what this particular slide shows is just some of the similarities between the .NET side and the C++ side in terms of how I would do a parallel for or for each loop, how I would execute some work asynchronously using invoke. On the .NET side, we have an object called a task that you can create and use. On the native code side, we have the same object is called task handle, and those live inside of task groups.
So the way we're dealing in both worlds are pretty similar, right?
Very similar. Again, the concepts are the same. We just try and give developers whatever feels natural based on the language and the platform that they're running on.
It's a cool concept, right? I think this is very good. Let's talk a bit about the static and dynamic pooling.
That's a great segue. Scheduling. So if we think about threads, or even if we think about tasks that are statically scheduled,
right?
Like let's take a problem like let's say I want to calculate all the prime numbers from A to B.
Right.
The work required to do that at the lower bound at A is much less than the work required to do it at B. So if I had a big array of numbers, the high numbers would be much harder to calculate whether it's a prime than the low numbers.
Right.
And so if I just naively said, okay, I've got four processors, let me chop up this array into four pieces and give one piece to each processor, what we would find and what this diagram shows is the unlucky processor that got the high end of that array would have a lot more work to do. And so from a user standpoint, what the user would see is like, hey, it took you this long to calculate this load of work, when really a lot of that work finished much sooner. It's just we had to wait for the biggest chunk of work to finish. So one way that we can approach that is instead of dividing it up sort of into four big course chunks, we can divide that up into a bunch of smaller tasks. And so if we do divide it up into a bunch of smaller tasks, what we end up with, in this case, we're dividing it up into, 32 little chunks of tasks, we can balance that across all the CPUs, exactly.
And then you say, are going to save a lot of time, right?
At the end, what I represent with this arrow here is this is the impact on the user of your software. They're going to see this workload complete that much sooner because we've dynamically scheduled that work across all the processors.
So it's all about optimizing, using really the cores as good as possible and benefit in the application with a good performance and responsibility of the interface, responsiveness of the interface.
That's right.
So this is pretty good. So we need to take care of that.
Exactly. And the way we affect this is by doing something called work stealing, where when one of these CPUs runs out of work to do, it can look to its neighbors. If they have work in their queues, it can start stealing work.
Oh, this is good.
And so at the end, what we find is we're not ending up with the situation where one CPU is sitting idle while the other ones are running.
So this is really to come to the picture and the task monitor where you get them all on green, top level, right?
Yes.
Also a rack top level, all on 100% running, and not just one being red, and the rest is not doing anything.
The rest are just sitting around.
Sitting there and don't know what to do, right?
Yes.
And do I have to do it manually, or is it just built-in?
This is absolutely automatic. So
I don't
have
to take care as a developer.
If I, for example, want to make a parallel for loop, I just say parallel for. Underneath the hood, it automatically tasks get created. They automatically get scheduled. It automatically happens.
Right.
Whether you're in .NET or whether you're in C++, it doesn't matter. All that's taken care of by the runtime.
So I don't have to care of that by configuring a couple of things.
Exactly. It's all automatic. And then particularly on the native code side, native code developers like to kind of get in there and tweak every little aspect. You have a lot of advanced features where if you wanted to change the way that the scheduling happens, you can get in and you can do that.
Cool.
But 99% of the world would prefer just to let that happen for them.
So abstract layer,
absolutely.
Make sure it's easy for me to utilize all the CPUs approximately perfectly.
Yes.
So, I think we're good to go and should have a look at how the developer experience could be, right?
That's a great idea. I actually have a demo prepared that I'd like to show you.
Yeah.
We have a little ray tracer that runs, it's written in C#.
Right.
And let me switch over to my ray tracer application here in Visual Studio. That would be this one. And while I'm doing that, let's see if I can bring up the task manager just for fun as well. All right, so I'm going to run this application. And I've got it in release mode right now. Let me switch this over to debug mode, and I'm going to run it. And so I'll bring up the task manager too.
Cool.
Pretty interesting. You can see, you can see this is a 4-core laptop. You can see while Visual Studio is preparing to run my application here.
Mm-hmm.
It's using a little bit of the CPU, although maybe we can be a little bit more parallel inside of Visual Studio perhaps. So my application's come up. What I want to show you first is just what this application looks like. And so I've got two little bouncing reflective balls. It's using ray tracing, and you can see the reflections off the balls and also the reflection off of the little checkered floor that the balls are sitting on. You can see from my CPU monitor that I'm using a little more than a quarter of my CPU resources. Probably about a quarter of it's being used by this application. Some of it may be used by Visual Studio Debugger, etc. But I'm really not effectively using all of the hardware resources I have on this machine.
Right.
If I turn on parallel, and let me start it running again, you can see that, okay, now I'm running, it looks much more smooth. Right. From the CPU usage, you can see I'm using close to 100% of my CPU. If you were paying attention to the frames per second up in the title of my demo application, I've gone from about 1 frame per second to closer to 3.5 frames per second. So I'm getting scalability that's close to linear scalability based on the number of cores I have available. So really cool stuff. One thing I'd like to show here, let me just kind of randomly come over and look at what the tools look like.
Right.
So I'm just going to randomly stop this right now in the debugger.
Right in, right.
I've broken in. You can see I have a couple of tasks scheduled here. So this is my parallel tasks window.
Right.
I've got a couple tasks scheduled. I've got some tasks waiting. So what we've done here, very important, before when developers would write parallel applications, sometimes they would use threads, sometimes they would use things like thread pools, or sometimes they would use programming models like OpenMP.
Right.
But regardless of what programming model they used, when they broke into the debugger, what they would see is the thread window.
Right.
Thread window's great. That's how the operating system thinks about how things work. Unfortunately, in this program, I didn't write my code with threads. In fact, if I go and look at how I wrote my program, it looks like this. So this is my sequential version, and you can see I have an outer for loop that goes from sort of the bottom or the top to the bottom of the screen, and then I have an inner for loop that goes from left to right of the screen, and I just calculate pixel by pixel what it should look like.
Right.
If I look at the parallel implementation of this code, the only change that I've made is I've turned the outer for loop into a parallel.for loop. This happens to be managed code with C#. So it's great. That's the only change I had to make in my code. But if I were forced to debug this in threads, I think I would be very confused because I never used threads in this program.
Right, right.
So as a developer, it would force me to kind of understand, okay, I wrote my program at this level of abstraction way up here. Now I'm debugging it at this other much more low-level set of abstractions, and the tool would be requiring me to understand what happens in between.
Right.
What the parallel tasks window allows me to do is think about the code in the debugger at the same level of abstraction that I wrote it.
Right.
So much more powerful. Another view that's very interesting here, if I bring up some other debugger windows, we can look at the parallel stacks view. And that's this guy.
This good.
And so with this, I can see the actual state of execution of my program.
Right.
At any one time, and I prefer to keep my video the same as it, as it is right now. I'm having no issues with it. Thank you, Windows, for reminding me, though. So what this is showing me is I've got two tasks created at this point in time.
Right.
I've got one task that's in a waiting state,
right.
And I can view this either by tasks or I can view it by threads.
Oh, this is good.
So if I want to view what the thread-centric state looks like, I can, and I can actually zoom this out a little bit if I want to see the whole world at one time. So if I want to see what the thread-centric state looks like, or if I wrote a threaded program, I have the ability to look at it that way. But if I just wrote my program with tasks, I can also just look at it this way.
That's good.
And so this gives me, of course, I can set the current stack frame and figure out what are my current parallel tasks that have got me here. I can double-click around and maybe click over into here, and you can see it'll bring me to the line of code
that's
currently
good.
Executing.
So you can directly jump from the visualization back to code and see where we are at the moment.
Absolutely.
Right.
So it really gives me an all-up view. Two important things that we've done in the tools. One is to give you tools that speak the same language as the code.
Right.
And two is to give you some new ways to deal with all the higher levels of parallelism. I've got so much going on in my program at once. Give me a view that kind of paints that whole world view at one time.
Right.
And so if I were just to start this running again in the debugger, start it bouncing again, then I'll come back and break it randomly again, and then I'll come back and view my parallel stacks, and now I've got a different picture,
right?
Because I'm in a different state of my program, and now I've got four tasks that have been created.
Yeah. Cool.
It's just depending on where I happen to break my program, but you can see I've got a great way to see exactly where my program is at this state in time. One other thing that we've done in
you remind me all the time.
We do. Windows is very conscientious that way, but I think I think I'm okay. I think it should trust me.
Okay.
One of the other things that we've added in terms of tooling is some profiling support.
Okay.
And so what I'd like to do is take you to one of our profiling views right now. And let me maybe shrink this down a little bit so we can get a better look at this. So what this is showing me is all of the threads that we're executing in my program This was a profile I did earlier of this program, and basically what I'm looking at here is all the greens represent running code. Each little swim lane here represents a different thread of execution. The red represents synchronization, so maybe it's waiting at a lock, or maybe it's put to sleep by the thread pool. Sometimes that will show up as red as well.
Okay.
The little pieces of yellow represent quantum expiration, so these are when the operating system switches or preempts my thread to run a different thread, that shows up as yellow. So for example, if I have a lot of green, that typically is good. If I have a lot of yellow, that typically represents my system is oversubscribed. The operating system is trying to run too many things at one time, so it needs to spend a lot of time switching out. If I see a lot of red, that might indicate a lot of time spent waiting
at locks.
So, you know, I can see interesting things like, hey, this is a piece of execution. I can see what the call stack is for that little piece of execution. I can even double-click on this. It'll take me right to the source code
so I can navigate
between what my performance looks like and where I am in the source code. So this really helps me understand what my program is doing over time. So lots of great things we're adding in this release of Visual Studio.
Cool. So we can say, to sum it up, we have good tool support really built in to deal with that.
Yes.
So perfect. One thing I would like to mention here in addition is you showed it in your one session is that you have the ability to, if you have multiple threads or tasks executing, you can just in the debugging mode focus on one and you can suspend all the others.
Yes.
This was the greatest thing I've seen because let's have a few
of
that.
Let's take a look at that because this is
a great feature, right?
Yeah, so if we come back to a piece of source code here. So let's take a task over here, for example, and we can see what this task is doing right now just by double-clicking on it.
Right.
We can navigate around all of these tasks and see what all of them are doing at this point in time. We can see the individual call stacks for this particular task. One of the classic problems in debugging parallel apps in Visual Studio is maybe I set a breakpoint here, and then I hit this breakpoint, and then I want to step to the next line of code. So I hit F10 to step.
Right.
But what F10 really does is it just lets all the threads run loose. And eventually, when it gets back to my current thread, I'll stop on the next line of code. But I don't know what's happened in between that period of time. So a great new feature in this version of Visual Studio is I can say, hey, freeze all of the threads except the one I'm working on. And that way I can kind of get the non-deterministic nature out of all the other threads and just focus on one thread at a time.
So I would like to emphasize this. I think everybody who has dealt with exactly the scenario you explained right now will be happy to have that, right?
This feature alone is worth the price of admission.
Exactly. So, cool thing. So, let's finish up.
Yeah.
And everything is for free. If you have Visual Studio installed, we talked about that.
If you have Visual Studio installed, it all comes built into Visual Studio. The profiler technology is in the...
It's not free, it's Visual Studio Ultimate, I think.
It's
premium?
It's in the premium is premium. The middle SKU.
Oh, the middle SKU,
yeah. It's in premium and it's in ultimate.
Ah, okay, good.
The debugger technology is built in professional and premium and ultimate, so any of the three SKUs you can get the debugger technology. And the programming models are in even in the Express versions.
Cool. So this is your website, www.msdn.com concurrency.
Yes.
So there is a ton of readings.
You can stay busy for weeks watching all the videos, reading the white papers, downloading the demos.
Right.
Here's a direct link to our demos for Manage Code.
So we can encourage you really looking yourself, download the demo we have shown you.
Yes.
Try it out yourself, all the windows. So get the beta 2 bits ultimate, download them, install the demos.
You can get beta 2 right now, try it out. Beta 2 even has a go live license, so if you want to work on commercial software with the beta, you can do that. And download the demos, everything is there, everything's ready for you to just try out.
Great, thank you very much, Steve.
Thank you, Christian, I really appreciate it.
Thanks.